You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Darrell Conner. Coming up tomorrow at 7 on The Morning Show, join Kate Archer Kent for a look at women in politics. Last year, women made gains in Congress and other big elections, but not as many women got elected here in Wisconsin. That's tomorrow morning at 7 here on the Ideas Network.
Now, Governor Evers and Republican lawmakers are feeling each other out on a lot of issues heading into the next budget cycle, and health care has been front and center.
A Republican-backed bill that would require most health plans to provide coverage for people with pre-existing conditions could get a vote in the Assembly as early as next week. Governor Evers says that bill doesn't go far enough. And Evers plans to push for Medicaid expansion using federal money, despite legislative leaders calling it a non-starter.
Philip Rocco is an assistant professor of political science at Marquette University and the co-author of Obamacare Wars, Federalism, State Politics, and the Affordable Care Act. Phil, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be back, Rob.
Well, we've talked about this a time or two, but let's go back to Wisconsin's kind of unique status when it comes to Medicaid expansion and accepting federal money. Where do things stand after Governor Walker's decision a few years back?
So where things stand currently is that Wisconsin partially expanded Medicaid sort of through the back door, gradually ramping up coverage for people a little bit over 100% of the federal poverty line. And the proposal that's really sort of being floated, the full Medicaid expansion, would mean coverage for more than 80,000 adults who live between 100 and 138% of the federal poverty line, so a pretty huge gain in coverage. The other big thing that I think is really important in this debate is that if Wisconsin takes the full Medicaid expansion, it means that the percentage of the budget that the state will have to kick in will go down, right? As one incentive that the federal government provides for states to expand Medicaid, they cover 90% of the cost. So right now, the federal match is 59%, so the federal government picks up 59% of the Medicaid budget. If Wisconsin expands Medicaid, it means the federal government will pick up 90% of the Medicaid budget, which would mean that the state would be spending a lot less every year on Medicaid, which is a huge budget line item.
And after all the court cases and the Republican Congress nibbling away at the Affordable Care Act over the years, that money is still on the table. A state like Wisconsin could say, okay, yeah, we're in.
Absolutely. This is something that is sort of written into the law, and as long as Republicans don't repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, which seems unlikely given the current control of Congress, that money is still on the table.
For someone maybe reluctant to do this, one reason might be, okay, sure, Congress probably isn't going to repeal the Affordable Care Act, but there's a court ruling against it. It's on hold for now, but it's conceivable in the court system that the Affordable Care Act could shut down. We reconfigure our healthcare system and then it's gone.
That's entirely possible, although I think that the fact of the matter is that the money is still currently on the table, and so I think that as long as the federal Affordable Care Act is still the law of the land, I think there are some incentives for states to adapt and to take advantage of some of the benefits that exist currently in the law.
A part of what the state did back when we made this decision to expand Medicare for some and but not take that Medicaid money was to say, okay, that the people in that range you talked about, I think it was 100 to 138% of poverty, somewhere in there, they won't be covered under Badger Care, which is our Medicaid, but thanks to the Affordable Care Act, they can go into the exchange, they can get federal subsidies and get their coverage that way. How has that actually played out for people in that zone?
That is true, although I think that one thing that Wisconsin's individual marketplace has sort of dealt with is that the coverage in a lot of those plans remains quite expensive. Premiums for some of those plans are quite high, and from the perspective of a low-income person, might not necessarily be affordable. And some of those plans still, I think, cover not necessarily everything that somebody who, for instance, has the need of a lot of prescription drugs or other sort of more complex medical treatments, they might not cover to the extent that they would want to. They might have a lot of cost sharing. They might have to pay a lot, for instance, at the pharmacist counter.
Talking to Philip Rocco from Marquette University, co-author of the book Obamacare Wars, talking about two big pieces of healthcare news here in Wisconsin. Governor Evers saying the state should now take Medicaid expansion money from the federal government, and pre-existing condition coverage efforts going on in the state legislature. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Phil, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has said expanding Medicaid, expanding Badger Care with this federal money, he's worried that it would undermine the private sector market, make potentially rates go up for people who have a private insurance. Is that a concern?
That does not really square with any shred of evidence that exists about how Medicaid expansion has affected the individual market in any state that it's been tried out in. And the reason why is this. So the individual market, the premiums in that market are based on the risk pool, the pool of people who have insurance and what their health status currently is. One thing that Medicaid expansion does is it takes a segment of people who are low income and often have a number of health problems, including chronic diseases. It takes them out of the individual market's risk pool. That tends to bring down premiums in the individual market. So in states that have expanded Medicaid, premiums have often gone down, and there are numerous research studies that illustrate this.
Let's get into the politics of this bit a bit. Democratic Governor Evers says, yes, let's do this Medicaid expansion. Republican lawmakers who control the legislature say no. Here's Governor Evers talking earlier in the week about the issue.
We're not going to burn the Capitol down here. We're going to disagree. If that is their position, then we will disagree. I believe our position at the end of the day is a correct one. I think if Republican legislators who come from small town Wisconsin that understand that the success of those small town hospitals and clinics depends upon having access to greater resources, they may change their mind. So we're going to take this directly to the people of Wisconsin in a respectful way.
So, Phil, do you see a political path to Medicaid expansion, taking this extra federal Medicaid money, actually happening in Wisconsin?
I do. And I'll say a little bit about what that path might look like. One thing to note is that there are a number of states that are controlled by Republicans that have expanded Medicaid already, right? Ohio, Michigan, back in several years ago when Pennsylvania's governor was Republican, Pennsylvania expanded, Arizona. And I think one thing that you see in common across those states is that the debate about Medicaid expansion in those states was had about the concrete economic effects of Medicaid expansion, one, on the state budget, two, on the hospital sector, and three, on constituents in the districts that Republicans represent. So I think in those states, there were concrete political benefits to Republicans, despite the fact that Obamacare, was sort of very caustic and polarizing. There were concrete political benefits for Republicans to expanding Medicaid. But as long as the debate remains in this partisan or symbolic register, those benefits become unclear. Republicans might be worried about primary challengers and the like. I think that by illustrating to Republicans that we're not going to have this debate on partisan grounds, and that instead there might be some outcome by talking about it purely as a set of sort of concrete outcomes and not engaging in sort of blame game politics, Evers could open up some political space, right? Remember that while Voss has said that Medicaid expansion is a non-starter, back in the fall, Scott Fitzgerald in the Senate suggested that he might be open at some point to Medicaid expansion. And so I think this might be one of those places where the politics plays out very differently in the two chambers of the state legislature.
We're talking to Philip Rocco right now, assistant professor of political science at Marquette University, co-author of the book Obamacare Wars. He's helping us make sense of proposals to expand Medicaid in Wisconsin, and we'll get into this in just a minute, efforts to preserve some pre-existing condition protections from the Affordable Care Act.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for Phil on healthcare policy and how other states have handled some of these issues? Do you support expanding the Badger Care program to those above the legal poverty line? Is coverage for people with pre-existing conditions something you want kept in place? Do you see one party being on the right side of health care? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Darrell Conner. We're continuing our chat with Philip Rocco, assistant professor of political science at Marquette University, looking at arguments in the state over expanding the Medicaid program and passing a law to cover those with pre-existing conditions.
You can call in at 800-642-1234. Should Wisconsin, after a handful of years not doing this, accept federal money to expand Medicaid, to expand Badger Care here in the state to more people? Why or why not? And what do you want to see when it comes to Wisconsin, specifically protecting pre-existing condition insurance coverage in the state? Or do you have a question about all this stuff for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll bring on a caller now. John is with us in Madison. John, hi.
Hi, guys. I'm always curious when I hear about the rejection of Obamacare. I'm always curious in the numbers. And I have two questions. One is, what has the rejection of Medicaid expansion under Obamacare, how much has that cost the state of Wisconsin? And the second question is, has the rejection driven up private insurance costs? People who pay out of pocket or pay through their employer, has it driven up their costs? Because some of those people who would have been covered under the Medicaid expansion now end up on private rolls, and that drives up everybody's costs. So I'd love to hear the numbers. Thank you.
Philip?
Great. So I don't have specific numbers on either of those. I can say some general things that we know. First, the one way to think about what not taking Medicaid expansion costs each year is that, in addition to the fact that the state continues to pay its normal roughly 40% match for Medicaid funds, additionally, the taxes that go to fund Medicaid help to pay for Medicaid expansion in other states. So as other states have begun to expand Medicaid, there is a net outflow of tax dollars from Wisconsin. Unfortunately, I don't have the figure in front of me for that. On the question of how not taking Medicaid expansion affects the individual marketplace itself, the one thing I'll note is that it tends to be the case that the costs of not expanding Medicaid in terms of the way that individuals gain coverage or seek health care, the costs come first in terms of the premiums in the individual marketplace. So for people who don't have Medicaid and then go to sign up for individual market plans, you tend to have sicker people in the risk pool for the individual market, and that tends to increase premium costs. Of course, for a lot of people, especially after the elimination of the individual mandate, they might just have dropped coverage altogether. And while I don't have the figure in front of me, the cost that you'll tend to incur from those folks is the cost of them going and seeking medical care at the emergency room itself. So all of those things contribute to costs in one way or another.
Thanks for that call, John. Phil, let's get into pre-existing condition coverage now. Before we get into what's going on in the legislature, let me see if I have this right. Right now, it doesn't matter what the state of Wisconsin does when it comes to pre-existing conditions, because the Affordable Care Act is taking care of that. So it doesn't matter at all. But if the Affordable Care Act were to go away in a court order, it would matter a lot. Do I have this right?
That's right. So right now, if you want to think about what does it mean for people with pre-existing conditions to be covered, under the ACA, insurance plans have to cover people who have pre-existing conditions. They can't exclude them from coverage because of those conditions. Additionally, they're not allowed to charge people more simply because of the health conditions they have. Right? They can charge people more because of their age or because they use tobacco or because they're in a particular rating area geographically in the state, but they're not allowed to charge people more because they have those pre-existing conditions. Now, additionally, there are a couple features of the ACA that require health insurance plans to cover 10 minimum essential health benefits like emergency room, hospitalization, and things of that nature. And there's a ban on both lifetime and annual limits to what the insurer will cover. And so the ACA doesn't just protect people with pre-existing conditions by saying that an insurer has to cover them. It also specifies a little bit more about what that coverage has to contain.
So here in Wisconsin, Republicans in the legislature, the Assembly passed a pre-existing coverage bill back in December. The Senate, also controlled by Republicans, didn't. There's a new effort now. Looking at what they're doing, how do the protections they're working on compare to what you just described in the Affordable Care Act?
So what the bill that was just introduced contains is a statement that says that insurance companies cannot restrict people from coverage because of pre-existing condition, and they can't charge people more because they have a pre-existing condition. What those bills don't contain is a mandate that insurance companies aren't allowed to have lifetime and annual limits, and there's no mandate on what the plans have to contain, so no mandate on things like essential health benefits. And so there are definitely some basic protections there, but in terms of essential health benefits and lifetime and annual limits, there's nothing there, and that could add up to a lot of money on an annual basis for people who need insurance. One thing that I'll note that is sort of not part of the debate, either from Governor Evers or from the legislature, is that if the ACA is repealed or if the ACA is struck down by the courts, it's not just that the protections for people with pre-existing conditions will go away in terms of the regulation. The subsidies that people get to buy insurance on the individual market, those will also go away. And that's something that I think neither Evers nor the Republicans are sort of talking about, but it's certainly, if the whole of the law is struck down, that would be a significant change and something that the state might find itself or find greater demand for the state to be on the hook for.
One concern for insurance companies when it comes to pre-existing condition mandates and limiting their ability to limit the coverage they provide is the idea of it may be somebody gaming the system. I'm healthy. I'm not going to buy coverage. Oh, I've been diagnosed with something. Now I'm going to sneak in there. And because they can't discriminate against me, I'll get coverage, kind of defeating the purpose of buying insurance in advance. Is that something that the Affordable Care Act or the legislature has wrestled with?
I mean, this is just one difficult thing about insurance sort of to begin with, is that if insurance isn't provided for you by your employer, it's not a benefit of your employment, or if you don't have access to something like Medicaid, people tend to not buy insurance until it's too late. One really good example of this is long-term care, right? Nursing home stays and things like that. People don't want to think about the fact that they might need long-term care, and even though most people will. And so nobody buys long-term care insurance, and as a result, the premiums in the long-term care insurance market are sky high, and the plans don't cover very much. And so this is just one sort of basic feature of if you don't have a huge incentive to get into the marketplace, you tend not to buy insurance until it's too late.
Let's go to a caller now. Brandon is with us in Knapp. Brandon, hi.
Hello.
What do you want to tell us about?
I'm 18. A few months ago, back when I was still a minor, pretty much my whole childhood, my mom really struggled to find plans that could cover us. We were like right at that fine line where there was just nothing to find. And it's been a really tough strain on the family because I've been in and out of the hospital a lot and she's always had to pay out of pocket. So I would really like it if they could expand who gets covered for that kind of stuff.
Brandon, thanks for the call. Philip, were there a lot of families in that kind of gray area Brandon's talking about, not poor enough to be fully covered or get big subsidies, but not necessarily able to provide effective coverage for a whole family?
Yeah, there is a gigantic coverage gap in Wisconsin because it didn't take the expansion. And again, I think that the number of people who stand to gain coverage if Medicaid is expanded here is, I think, about 80,000. And so, you know, especially when, as I'm sorry to hear, folks have chronic health conditions or something that brings them in the need of a hospital stay,
paying out of pocket means a significant chunk, possibly an completely unaffordable or implausible chunk of your annual income. And, you know, it's important to remember that most folks who are on Medicaid, they work, they are trying to make ends meet, but the quality of health insurance that's available to them without the expansion is just sometimes very unaffordable. And so ultimately they might be paying a lot either in premiums or in cost sharing or other kinds of charges they're going to get when they go to see their provider.
Brandon, thanks for the call. Best wishes to you for your ongoing health concerns. Phil, briefly, is some of the vitriol out of the healthcare issue since the early days of the Affordable Care Act?
I think that you've certainly seen states as the sort of sharpness and the sort of electoral gains that could be made by attacking Obamacare itself as the word Obamacare rather than the law. As time has moved on, to some extent, there's not necessarily a lot the Republicans have to gain from just attacking the sort of the symbol of the law. And I think that that's opened up, at least in some states, not all, of course, a political path to talking about not Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, but what do people in the state, what are the actual needs of the constituents?
Thanks a lot to Philip Rocco from Marquette University with us to talk about debates in Wisconsin about Badger Care expansion and coverage for people with pre-existing conditions.